This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. The New York, New Jersey area's newest pro sports team is the New York Guardians of the XFL.
Centuries carved of stone. Watchdogs over the metropolis. A prehistoric predator. A beast evolves, turned loose in a new kind of jungle. All teeth and talons, eyes unblinking. They know fear because they feed off it. They're your first line of defense, and there is no need for a second. The New York Guardians, on duty, February 2020.
The XFL gets a reboot next month. The Professional American Football League, owned by Vince McMahon's Alpha Entertainment, has 8 teams, just like it did in its lone season in 2001. The XFL will once again be centrally owned and operated by the league. One of the 8 teams will play their home games at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, the New York Guardians. Let's head to the Jersey City offices of the Guardians and meet their president, who has had quite a sports career herself. The XFL is starting up again. It's been a long time, but we're excited that the New York Guardians are one of 8 teams, and the season opener is February 9th at MetLife Stadium versus the Tampa Bay Vipers. And I'm in the room here, and I see the wonderful uniform of the New York Guardians. A lot of people say they like it. They're looking forward to it. I went online today, and I couldn't find any of the uniforms in my size. Joining us for this edition of Sports Jam is the president of the New York Guardians, Janet Duke. Great to see you.
Thank you so much for having me, Doug.
You have a big smile on your face, and why not? You're the president of this new franchise, the New York Guardians. All of these teams are owned by Vince McMahon, but your team has Kevin Gilbride as the coach. Of course, Giants fans know him well. I happen to be a Steelers fan. I remember when he was offensive coordinator for the Steelers. He's Mr. Offense, right? And he worked with Eli Manning for the Giants. You have a team now that you've been working with Vince McMahon, Oliver Luck, who I remember playing quarterback many, many years ago, as the commissioner of this league, and then, of course, Kevin Gilbride, your coach. Before we talk about your role, how has it been working with these three individuals who are trying to start something big?
It's been incredible. You know, for us, we've had time and resources just understanding Vince's vision. And certainly Oliver and Jeffrey Pollock heading up our business side. Jeffrey is the president and CEO for the XFL. And really, with their leadership, their vision, you know, it's been a startup. So we're excited. I mean, we're doing this. It's for the love of football. And I think if you're a football fan, you're going to love what you see from the XFL. And certainly with Coach Gilbride here. Kevin and his team are down in training camp right now, and you know, he likes offense, so it's going to be a fast-paced tempo game here for us. So I think it's going to fit into the style of what New Yorkers want to see.
We'll talk about the rules, and I find them exciting and fun, you know, especially the overtime rule. Looking forward to seeing that in place, looking for the point after touchdown, the three options. We'll get into that, but let's talk about Janet Duke. Most recently, Senior Vice President of Marketing Communications for Online Experiences. And then we'll talk about your Madison Square Garden experiences. But talk about the role that you had for on-location experiences, and how did it set you up for this presidency?
You know, this is my second startup. So on-location experiences really was a spinoff from the NFL, and we were focused on premium experiences. And I think I was employee number 6. John Collins had just come over from the NHL, and it really was. I walked in, no website, no ticketing system, and I think just building a business from the ground up has really provided me that experience and that stepping stone into this role as team president for the Guardians.
You know this market as well as anybody. 18 years at Madison Square Garden, senior vice president, mostly during the Rangers. You had a little bit of Knicks time in there too, but the Rangers for a long time, obviously a super successful franchise, and you're responsible for the marketing of that. You are considered a marketing expert. Obviously, that's what attracted you to sports, but why did you want to be the president of the New York Guardians?
Sports has always been a part of my identity. I'm a hometown girl, born in Brooklyn, raised in Jersey, and these were my teams growing up, the Knicks, the Rangers. So certainly I think taking that experience and just being able to understand what New York fans want, what New Jersey fans want, certainly this region is passionate about their sports teams, and they really want their sports teams, quite frankly, to reflect their own core values. And I think in this area, in my opinion, you know, fans want teams that work hard and show up, right, are authentic, give back to the community. And for me, the opportunity with the XFL was to work on a new team and a league and build that from the ground up and build that connection between our fans and, you know, the team that we have here in market. The roster's constantly changing, but what we're excited is really to continue to introduce our fans to our players and co-create to what this is going to be when we kick off in 2020 here in a few weeks.
Has it sunk in yet? You talk about you've been a fan of all these teams in the New York area. Now you're the president of a professional franchise, the New York Guardians. When did it hit you that either why did I do this or am I ready or this is so exciting I can't wait?
So I had a moment probably early December. The team has been in market for a few weeks. We've really been focused on building the staff here, being ready for game day in the stadium. But we invited a group of fans to West Point when we were having a practice. And I think the moment that practice ended, the players came over to the fans. And I think it just hit me. I think it was sort of this moment that you don't get often in sports where it's the first time a new team gets to meet its fan base. And the fans were just, they were cheering for the players. The players were excited to meet them, and I think that's the moment that it hit me that we were doing something special here. And, you know, our motto really is for the love of football, and that moment was just pure sort of love of football, of the fact that this was a team and a fan base coming together for the first time.
An opportunity to engage with the fans, it brings me back to many, many years ago when I was the PA announcer for the New Jersey Storm indoor lacrosse team at Continental Airlines Arena, and my daughter was young at the time. She's 27 now, so that gives you an idea how long ago that was. But she got the experience of a lifetime, being able to get to know the players. I remember one of my calls was Chico says no-no, the goalie, and she would repeat it wherever she went, and she would enjoy throwing French fries over the stadium to the players. So it's important, and it has stayed with us for all these years. We remember those experiences. You also remember the players. She can still name some of those players from that lacrosse team. You know how that works. So now with an opportunity with the New York Guardians, it's difficult for you right now because you said the roster's changing all the time.
It is. And, you know, for us, we are focused right now. Coach is focused on things happening on the field and getting back into market at the end of January to be ready for February 9th. We are focused on that fan game, the game day experience, right? We want to be about ultra access. We want fans to have that moment. For me personally, my family, sports was how we connected, right? And I have similar memories, right? Early on, for us, it was the New York Rangers, and my parents were from Europe, so we watched a lot of soccer and tennis and other sports, and that's how we connected. And I think for us right now, the ultra access and the game day experience is what we want to provide our fans. We want to make a really good introduction to our fans and let them know what they can expect. I've heard from fans, they are ready to go. They want to be tailgating. That's what you do at MetLife Stadium. At the same time, we're planning some indoor tailgates. We are planning opportunities for fans to be on the field during warm-ups. We're actually going to have little kids lined up for the national anthem with the players. We are going to have opportunities for fans to come down to the field and meet the players and do autograph sessions. So we want them to be as close to the action as possible. And again, it's really this genuine place that we're coming from is the love of football.
I liken it to, as I mentioned, when I was dealing with the New Jersey Storm and part of that franchise, if people would have come, they would have loved the product. And I think the same thing will be for the XFL. When people go to the event, they're bound. When you meet somebody for the first time and then you go, there's Matt McGloin. I just met him before the game. Look, he just threw a touchdown. He shook my hand. He gave me a hug or whatever. They're bound to have that connection. So knowing that this is going to be, now I understand you're going to have actually seats on the field at MetLife Stadium, right?
Yeah, we have seats on the east side that right now we're building out. Like I said, we want you know, you have your feet on the turf there. So we have two sections that are built out. They're available for season tickets. Our schedule is 5 home games, right? And they're going to have a unique experience. They're going to be right there in the action. They're going to have food and beverage delivered available to them at their seats, and they have club access as well. Just knowing, you know, February in New York and East Rutherford here could be interesting. So, you know, for us, again, we want to bring the fan closer to the action.
Matt McGloin went to my alma mater, Penn State, so I remember watching him play there for the Nittany Lions. He better be able to throw a hard ball, because everybody knows at MetLife Stadium the wind will pick up. Eli can attest to that after all those years, for certainly, and Kevin Gilbride certainly knows that. So I'm sure when he talks to Matt McGloin, he knows that it's going to have to be tight spirals to his players. Let's talk about the fact that Vince McMahon is trying this again. How did he convince you? How did everybody convince you that this time around it's going to really work?
Again, I think it's coming from a place of, if you're a football fan, you're going to love what the XFL is about. It's more football in a time of year that football hasn't been played. Clearly, with the rules being announced a few weeks ago, the fast tempo, action-packed excitement, I think, is something, again, football fans are eager for. You know, for us, we're looking ahead. You know, the XFL is the name that has stayed with us, but we are all about reimagining the game on the field and off the field, and providing that access to those fans as we get ready to kick off here at MetLife.
I personally like the fact that it's back with XFL, especially since it's Vince McMahon's product. I think, you know, at least people know those three letters when they talk about the season. A huge advantage to this franchise and this league as compared to some others, major network television. In fact, 2 o'clock on February 9th on Fox will be the season opener for MetLife Stadium. It'll be the New York Guardians against the Tampa Bay Vipers. I love their uniforms, too. I love that green. Yeah, it's kind of a Seattle Seahawks kind of thing, but it's very interesting. I think the color schemes and all the teams are quite good. It has to give you, you know, great comfort knowing that Fox, ABC, and ESPN will all be covering the New York Guardians.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. You know, major media partners here supporting the XFL and our teams. The games are going to be easy to find. They're certainly going to be, every single game will be nationally televised. And with partners both at the national and local level, ABC, ESPN, and Fox have just been incredible in helping to build the awareness that we are kicking off soon.
With those major networks, people can even stumble upon those games and go, what's this? And now, and you've got them hooked.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, again, we, through our partners, through the experience at the stadium, certainly the storytelling and introduction of our players through digital and social media technologies that weren't maybe available 20 years ago, that is sort of how we want to connect with our fan base. If you watch the first game live at MetLife Stadium, amazing. If you catch us on television and then decide you want to come because it was a fun atmosphere, that's what we want to provide our fans.
Do you remember the first football game you either experienced with your family or you saw on television?
Ooh, probably one of the Giants Super Bowl runs when, oh my gosh, Phil Simms and Carl Banks and Lawrence Taylor, who's, you know, Carolina alumni. I think that generation was probably me sitting down with my dad and my brother and you know, that's sort of a connection for us. We were a little bit of a hockey family, but certainly, you know, the New York teams, the New Jersey teams is what resonated for us.
You're listening to Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle, and my guest is Janet Duke, the president of the New York Guardians of the XFL. Let's head back to the Jersey City offices of the team and find out more about Janet's early days in sports. Where did the sports come from? Who was the person that took you out in the backyard and said, okay, we want you to do this, and do you like this, or would you rather do something else?
So early on, I was a gymnast, I was a dancer, and my dad realized I was going to be tall. So we got into the sports part. You know, I grew up on a cul-de-sac with 20 kids. 18 of them were boys. So, you know, there was definitely pickup basketball games, soccer games, sometimes in the mud. But really, my dad was the influence behind my interest in sports. Again, that's how my family connected. And, you know, I became a student athlete. I played soccer, volleyball and basketball, and then at Paramus Catholic, I was a basketball and volleyball player. And it's certainly a part of my identity. I went on to the University of North Carolina on a volleyball scholarship. And, you know, there it was a different experience. You're away from home. You don't have that support system, and it's different. It's at a different level, the amount of training that you're doing per day. But it was also where I kind of understood that I had a career-ending injury at Carolina. My junior year, and that was the end of my sports career. It was that or back surgery, and I opted for giving up volleyball at that time. I helped coach the men's club team, and I got really involved with the sports marketing department, and what better place than Carolina Athletics to learn. So for me, I was doing promotions and game presentation and local, you know, sponsorship promotions, and really starting to understand what the business around this was. And for me, I just decided that between my journalism background and just being so passionate about sports, quite frankly, not understanding how I could cope without sports being a part of my life, I turned it into a career. And 20 years later, it served me really well. And quite frankly, like, I come to work every day and it doesn't feel like work. So
could you say nobody ever wants to end their athletic career with an injury, but could you say that injury paved the way to be president of the New York Guardians?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been an executive in sports now for 20 years. This is my second, third team that I've worked for. And I think at the end of the day, you know, you have a path in life, and that's sort of where destiny took me.
Tell us a little bit more, though, about your, you know, the fact that you played volleyball. I mean, we're talking about a major university here. We're not talking about you went off to, you know, some podunk school that nobody's ever heard of. You know, UNC Chapel Hill, great sports throughout. I will tell you that I have a Lawrence Taylor North Carolina mini helmet that signed in my memorabilia collection. So I am aware that Lawrence Taylor is a graduate of North Carolina. When you think about your time there, what do you remember about your actual volleyball experience before the injury?
I mean, I would say during my recruiting trip, just having the chance to meet Dean Smith, just having that sort of iconic legend speak to someone that's deciding what university to go through, I think it just sort of shapes a little bit of the culture of the university. I was actually just down there at they invited back some alumni who were in the sports industry, and the athletic department hosted us, and they wanted to understand really like how Carolina Athletics continues to grow, right? And with all the emerging new technologies and trends, what are ways that they continue to grow and tell their story? And I think it's remarkable because the university just has this legendary sports culture. And I think being an athlete there, it wasn't just about football and basketball where you see the national focus, right? They really do invest in their student athletes. And quite frankly, their female athletic department and sports teams between soccer and field hockey, women's basketball, are nationally ranked year after year. So I think it's a place where you know, it was about the university. It was about the culture of the athletic department, but also just knowing that they there was an opportunity as a female athlete to both grow as in sports, but also as a career.
And I'm sure you thought of maybe the best in their sport, at least arguably the best in their sport, Michael Jordan and Lawrence Taylor played for North Carolina. It's pretty wild to think of that. But Paramus Catholic has always had great sports teams, too. So what's your favorite moment if you look back and say, if I could replay something for my family and a highlight on the television, what would your Paramus Catholic highlight be?
You know, I went to Paramus Catholic as a student athlete, really more focused in basketball. I actually didn't start playing volleyball until freshman year in high school. And I think, wow, both teams were super successful. But for me at Paramus Catholic, there was just this culture and legacy on the volleyball side that we were able to build and became a bit of a powerhouse. And I think it was probably, my gosh, one of the state championships my senior year, of just knowing that we were going to remain undefeated for consecutive years. But it was also the relationship. So the girls that my teammates that were on the volleyball team, we also played club volleyball. We were traveling every weekend, right? And I think of just having that sisterhood around you, as especially during the tough years of high school when you're trying to figure out what your identity is and who you want to be, I think had a huge impact in sort of what grew my confidence, my self-awareness, right, and sort of the path that I wanted to take forward.
We're speaking with Janet Duke, the president of the New York Guardians of the XFL. The season opener is February 9th at MetLife Stadium versus the Tampa Bay Vipers. You can see it on TV if you're not in the stands, and shame on you if you're not in the stands, but it's 2 o'clock on Fox. And I like how you just said, oh, yeah, state championship, we were undefeated. You just kind of throw that out there, that that happens to everybody, right? They have all that same experience. So you're used to winning, you know, when you're with the Rangers. You're used to that winning thing. So you're going to demand that Kevin Gilbride win these games. And let's take a quick look at the roster. I see that there are two players, maybe that has changed, but two players from Monmouth, a player from Fordham, a player from Stony Brook, a player from Princeton. Is that by design to get some of these local players on the team?
No, it wasn't. You know, our player personnel, football operations group, we're really looking for the best talent at each position. And the draft was certainly done a little bit in a unique way, where it was by position as opposed to just a running list of having the freedom to pick who. And, you know, I think what we're excited is with these players is certainly to be able to tell their story. Just like I have a story, just like you have a story that you shared with me earlier, these players have a story. And I think that story is really important to connect with the fans. The fact that they have to be homegrown or we attended university here, right, I think gives them that connection back to this marketplace, and hopefully fans come out and cheer them on.
One of the players, other than Matt McGloin, the quarterback, who's getting a buzz, is Mikhail McKay, the wide receiver from Cincinnati. Super speedy wide out we expect to see in a 25-second clock, him getting the ball a lot in the flat or long bombs, or is he not on the team anymore?
Question for Coach. I have not seen the team now at least for 3 weeks, so I don't know what is actually going on in Houston. I'm heading down to Houston, down to training camp on Saturday. We will see who is still on the roster. And, you know, for us, really, Kevin's got the football side. You know, he's competitive there. I'm competitive on the business side. So I think we actually complement each other pretty well.
I can certainly appreciate that, because I've worked for a number of minor league franchises and done broadcasting and stuff. When the rosters are changing, it's very difficult to do that. Who won the cul-de-sac that you played, those 18 boys that you played with, that you would call today and go, by the way, this is Janet Duke. I'm now the president of the New York Guardians Professional Football League. What are you doing?
I don't know that I would call any of them, but, you know, I think, you know, growing up, you know, in the early 90s, right, you were a female athlete. Back then, there weren't a lot of female sports teams, or at least in the younger ages, right? I wasn't on an all-girls, my gosh, soccer team, basketball team, or volleyball team until I was in 7th, 8th grade, high school, for the most part. So in those early years, you were two girls assigned to a team, and honestly, I think when you look back at that, my confidence, being able to, you know, walk into a boardroom, maybe it's primarily men, maybe it's not these days, but certainly that experience and that competitiveness and that fierce sort of athletic spirit that you need on the playing field has stayed with me. And I think when you look back, like, that is part of my identity of growing up playing sports with boys.
Would you ever let anybody win in some sort of game that you play, or do you always have to win, Janet?
I'm competitive. That competitive spirit comes from my dad. So, like, we kind of, you know, again, we're an Eastern European family. I'm first generation born here. My dad is into sports. He was a boxer and a soccer player. When we played board games, just like our family, and I have a brother who's younger, he didn't let us win. So if you wanted to win, we would leave the table crying. But if you wanted to sit at the table and you wanted to play, you had to compete. And that's just sort of the nature of which we grew up in. It didn't matter if we were 8 years old or 6 years old. Like, you had to play the game. You had to play the rules. And if you wanted to win, you had to earn it.
What kind of conversations do you have with your brother now about this role?
My brother is an avid sports fan, loyal to his teams in this region. And for me, we will have conversations about what would he expect from a new experience, right? He's a diehard Rangers fan. You know, the experience at the Garden, being indoors in an arena, is really different than being at MetLife Stadium outdoors. And sort of just tapping into a bit of what his fandom is and what his expectations are. He's been a great sounding board.
Madison Square Garden, considered the mecca of sports, so you've been a part of that. Boy, you're just surrounded yourself through the years by winning. What would happen if the Guardians started off with a couple of losses? Would you start taking Kevin Gilbride maybe by the collar and say, "Hey, let's get this team rolling a little bit"?
Listen, Coach and I are partners here. You know, for me, I haven't always been – my first 10 years at the Rangers, we didn't see a playoff game. And honestly, that has an impact of, you know, being a brand steward and a marketer for that organization of, you know, really taking advantage when things are good. And we had the opportunity to continue to invest in the business and grow that sport when the team was making the playoffs, when I was there for the two Stanley Cup runs, or the Stanley Cup run in 2014 and the two Eastern Conference runs. But certainly the opportunity of capitalizing on that casual fan and continuing to deepen the engagement with the core fan, you know, those are the things that I've learned. And I learned a lot of that at the Garden because the first 10 years was rough. When the team is not performing well, it has an impact on business. And at the same time, you know, I expect the team to have an amazing product on the field, and they're expecting us to make sure that the fans have an amazing opportunity and an experience in the field. So it goes kind of both ways, right?
Absolutely. Do you have a goal in mind that first game at MetLife Stadium, how many people will be there? I know you're focusing on the lower bowl of the stadium. Is there a set goal for you, or you don't even want to go to that at this point?
We're not going to go there yet. You know, the marketing is all hitting marketing campaigns, advertising is all hitting as of last week. So we're hoping fans come out. We're hoping they're interested in seeing what the experience is like. And, you know, we've kept ticket prices affordable. The starting prices in our building are $25 for a season ticket and $30 for a single game ticket. You can sit at the 50-yard line with club seats for $115. So we want fans to come out. We want them to be close to the action. We're going to keep the seats in the lower bowl. And we hope they have a great time when they're there.
Who actually came up with Guardians? A lot of people love it. Who came up with that?
So that was a collaboration with the league and their internal creative services, as well as some agencies. So incredible. We're really proud of the name. We think the uniform and the name reflect the values and the spirit of this area. And we're actually launching a Guardian of the Game nomination. So we want fans in the community to nominate their first responder, a teacher, someone that has gone above and beyond, and certainly we're going to honor them at our game, and they're going to help lead the team out to the field.
You can find out all the rules about the XFL. You can go to the New York Guardians website. But just give us some ones that you're excited about that are different from the NFL that will really, you know, put a whole new twist on this football experience.
Yeah, I think the play clock, just being 25 seconds, is going to clearly speed up the game. And I think it's going to be interesting of how players and coaches react to that. So I'm excited about that one. And, you know, I spent the first 18 years at Madison Square Garden. So, you know, I was there when the NHL launched the shootout. So to me, I'm excited to see overtime and how that goes and what the fan reaction is to that, and certainly how that impacts the game.
It's too bad Henrik Lundqvist can't be on the line there to stop everything from going, because you're used to having him one of the best goalies ever when it comes to the shootout. If not, of course, we know the Hall of Fame career that he has had. In fact, I just saw on my way here, here in Newark, there's a picture of a meet and greet with the King there. And so you've been used to having good success in the shootout kind of experience, so I can understand that. Obviously, you're embracing Giants and Jets fans, but here's another opportunity, Janet, I think, to have your own team. You know, that there are still people out there that are always searching for something new and somebody to support. There's an opportunity to really, you know, really grab a hold and say, this is my team, much like a minor league experience, but this is on a much different level with great players and the whole experience being at MetLife Stadium. So are you thinking that way too, that this is a chance for somebody to have their own new team?
Absolutely. You know, I think with our marketing group and our community and our PR team here, what's been important is you have in New York, New Jersey, this tri-state area, you certainly have people from all over, right? And while they may already have their teams, because they're here in the market, this is certainly an opportunity for them to have a New York, New Jersey team. So I think we want to make sure that, you know, if you're in the area and you're looking for a place to belong and certainly want to be around that sports community, we certainly embrace all of those fans coming out.
Where will you physically be as we wrap up this sports jam? Where will you physically be on game day? Are you going to be up? Are you going to be down? Where are you going to be?
Well, I'm going to be in the seats with the fans. I mean, that is part of the fun here. I mean, that is a moment that I've been waiting for since April, of just, you know, being at our stadium with the team on the field and certainly the passionate fans who have already signed up and are supporting us.
Dad right by your side?
We'll see if he'll hold up for the weather. But, yeah, my family will be at the game, yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add about the New York Guardians? Like you said, you can go to the website to find out the new rule changes. You can see the roster as it stands right now. Working with Matt McGloin, I saw the little video of him going through New York and getting used to saying he's always wanted to play for New York. He played for the Raiders in the NFL, of course, and played for Penn State. But when he was with the Raiders, he actually helped them, you know, while their starting quarterback was out. So he's looking for a new chance and a new second life in this game. Anything that you want to talk about that?
Yeah, Matt and his family have been here a few times in market, right? And I think he's eager to get onto the field. Certainly, I think a leader amongst the team right now. And we're excited to have him. You know, there's nothing better than having that quarterback in your stadium. So I think Coach will certainly make the decision as to, you know, who his starting lineups are. But for us, Matt has been just a true leader and champion on and off the field for us right now.
First touchdown for the Guardians. I can imagine that will be a big moment for you.
For all of us. I think, again, like, there's just so many moments throughout this journey, whether they have been here with our staff, whether it's been with our fans, with our players. We really are looking to co-create with everyone, so I think that'll be special. Let's hope there's a touchdown in that first game.
So for all those people that know you from Paramus Catholic, know you from North Carolina, that know you at Madison Square Garden, and now know you as president of the New York Guardians, an exciting time for you. Congratulations on your new position. We wish you the best of luck, and we hope to have you back to talk about the successful year one and going on to year two of the New York Guardians of the XFL.
Thank you, Doug. Hopefully we'll see you there for the opening game. It's going to be special.
I'll be there. Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. You can check out all the shows by going to WBGO.org/Sports Jam or find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts. Until our next session, I'll see you at the game.